Coming up on the Assassins Podcast, we've got Jen Abel, CEO and co-founder of Jellyfish, joining the show to talk about all things go-to-market, getting those first 10 customers when going from zero to one. Jen touches on the importance of having the founder involved through that process when going from zero to one. And at that point, when is the right time to hire the first full-time salesperson? Jen digs into the signals that companies and founders should be thinking about and looking for to know when they've actually hit PM fit. That's a critical one. And then Jen talks further about how she and the team at Jellyfish help their customers use customer feedback to inform when customers want to buy from you, how they want to buy from you, and how much they want to spend with you. I love this quote from Jen throughout the interview. It's one of my favorites. I wrote it down. There is nothing scalable about uncovering an earned insight. It's all about that hustle. All lead bullets here. I love go-to-market. This is an awesome episode. All right, Assassins, without further ado, let's get into the show.
See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs, assassin state of mind, hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line, assassin state of mind. They say money over everything.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. It's your host, Justin Vandehey, here at the Assassins Podcast, where we help founders take their ventures from zero to one. It's a beautiful day here today. Excited to get into this episode. It's been one, I know, been going back and forth to try to knock this down and schedule this. Jen, she's hustling at all times. Excited to have her join the podcast. Jen Abel, CEO and co-founder of Jellyfish. Welcome to the Assassins Podcast.
It's great to be here, Justin. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, for sure. I was excited to have you in because you are truly a guru on all things early stage go-to-market. And I know that's what Jellyfish is really focused on. I'd love maybe just to start with your background. What sort of led you to starting the company? And yeah, we can kind of take it from there.
Yeah. So background is, I was so fortunate to be part of the budding New York City tech ecosystem back in 2012. I was one of the first two enterprise sales hires at a company that's fairly well known called General Assembly. And then from there went to an organization called The Muse, where I actually met my co-founder, Justin, who's also the co-founder of Jellyfish. And in both of these roles, I noticed that it's in the zero to one journey, if the founder is not intimately involved in the sales process, it will never work, right? Because at the end of the day, you're selling a vision, a point of view, and an excitement about the market. And even the best salespeople, it's really hard to sell through when you don't have much credibility, right? So in these roles that I was hired for, I was constantly bringing in the founders of each of these companies because I knew having their vision, their passion, their heart in part of these meetings was so critical. But more importantly, they had the end decision to decide where we take this. And I didn't want this to be a game of telephone, right? I didn't want this to be like, hey, here's what I heard. You guys should go build it. I wanted to make sure that the vision that the founder had and the reality of the market were symbiotic. So in doing this, I realized, well, the zero to one sales role doesn't really exist, right? It's a mixture of founder meets product marketer meets salesperson, right? Like you need all of these kind of be a jack of all trades to kind of figure it out and navigate this ambiguity. And I realized how hard it is for these, you know, seed stage, early stage startups to gain traction. And what I really noticed is not only is it hard for a US-based company to get that early traction, it's really, really hard for an international company to come in and figure out this US traction. So we built Jellyfish to be that co-pilot in that zero to one journey to be alongside the founder But what we quickly realized is there's also a much bigger problem for an international company trying to figure this out. And that's been the impetus of Jellyfish. We work with US and international based seed stage organizations who are looking to crack and enter the US market.
I've interacted with technical co-founders that are really resistant to sell or are uncomfortable selling.
Yeah.
How do you get them there?
What's
the process for getting a founder that's maybe resistant to it, not naturally comfortable with it?
Yeah, you make such a great point. Like, we all default to where we're comfortable. And for a technical founder, which is 80%, if not 90% of founders, right? They default to where they feel comfortable, which is building, right?
Yeah.
They have control over it. They get immediate feedback if something's working or not, right? But going out to market where you as a founder have to dedicate your life to this baby, right? In order for it to work. But you also have blind confidence, right? So these like two things are kind of like the opposites of each other. And when you go out to market, you almost have to unveil that blind confidence and really understand what the market cares about. And that's super scary if you've overspent time on building. And for someone to say, hey, the vision you just shared doesn't align with my reality, like, that's a tough pill to swallow, right? As easy as it is to say, like, to be self-reflective, like, it's super hard to hear. Who wants to hear that,
yeah,
right? So for us, part of the reason we built our model is it's very easy to lead a horse to water in terms of what you want to hear and who you want to hear it from, right? And that's why I think we stay in this realm of, oh, I'll go talk to my friends, or I'll talk to my family, or I'll talk to a warm network. Yeah, it's easier to get in the room with those people. Those people are going to be also the nicest to you, which actually leads to failure because you're just going to get warm, or you're just going to get false positives. When in reality, the people that are going to give you the real raw feedback, the stuff that's hard to hear, is when you go out cold and you learn from someone that's unaffiliated to you.
Yeah.
So it's really tough for a technical founder, right? They have spent all of their time building. That's what they can control. That's what they're passionate about. The last thing they want to do is have someone say, hey, this isn't that cool. So it's necessary, right, to build a business versus just build a product. So what we try and do is make this more scientific, make early stage sales scientific, because for a technical founder, that's what resonates. They don't like this throw spaghetti at the wall. They want to know, if I input X, it will create Y, right? So how do you create a scientific process to put their vision through to align it with, again, the market reality?
Yeah, that's really insightful. On that notion of knowing whether a founder's got it or not, meaning in the sense that they've hit PM fit, because I know Jellyfish focuses a lot on that as sort of identifying PM fit. Yeah, like how do you know, essentially? Like, do you quantify it? Is there certain signals you're looking for?
Yeah.
Curious to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, revenue is a lagging indicator, right? So you can't always just stake it on like, oh, I'll just wait till revenue comes. Like, you need to be looking at other things as well. Otherwise you're going to be going down, you could be going down the wrong path. So there's a few things we look at. One is, how hard is it to inspire someone to want to talk to you about X problem?
Hmm.
Like, if you reached out to 100 people with a thoughtful, personalized note and a problem statement, how many of them are interested in learning more? Is it 1 out of 100, 10 out of 100, right? Each of those things mean radically different math equations depending on the size of your market, right? So one is just how easy it is to inspire someone to want to learn more. Two is how many, when you get on the phone with them, agree a problem exists. Just because you, the founder, agree a problem exists doesn't mean the market agrees a problem exists. But it's very easy to say yes to, oh yeah, I agree that's a problem. You need to go a layer deeper, which is, great, how have you tried to solve this historically?
Hmm.
And if they say, well, we haven't, well, is it really a priority? Right? Because historics are the leading indicator of future intent.
Hmm.
Right? So what we try and do with founders is say, listen, if they agree a problem exists, great. How have they, or how are they trying to solve for it? And if there's nothing there, you know, we then beg the question is, okay, why? And dig deeper into that. So I think the leading indicator is, what are the historics that a customer has tried to do to stop gap, whatever problem it is? Because that is the leading indicator of future intent, knowing that revenue is a lagging indicator. And then, of course, obviously the conversions from meeting to meeting, but as a founder, especially in the zero to one stage, you want to make sure you're spending the most time with the right people. So on a first call, that's a very easy thing to pick up on is this person or is this alignment really worthy of a second call?
Yeah, I was thinking back to the early days of Disco too, when we were getting the ball rolling. I came across a framework from Raul Vora at Superhuman. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's like the way that he quantified product market fit is almost like getting a regular, I guess essentially it was like glorified NPS to
kind of, it was like, like frustration if the product was removed from them.
Yeah, yeah. And I always felt like that was something that we struggled with in the early days, but I really love the insight that you shared around sort of looking at pipeline and signal in sort of outreach and quantifying that as an indicator into it too. Cause I think like that's, you need some form of data in the early days to know whether it's working or not. And 100%. Some of it is intuition, like you said, but it's hard to quantify. I know.
Yeah. And it's tough because, you know, the other thing too is founders over index on asking non-customers about product feedback. Like the only person you should be taking product feedback from is a paying customer that has skin in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Like problem feedback is the what the market is an expert on. The market is not an expert on how to solve for it.
Yep. Yep. That's really good. How, I guess, as you've thought about different business models, I know we've been talking a lot about B2B selling and customer acquisition. Yep. There's obviously a lot of different go-to-market tactics and strategies. Be curious to get your take on things like freemium or trials. I know that consumption-based businesses are, there's a lot of business models now that are try before you buy and sort of, you know, bottoms up. How have you been advising companies to think about their approach to growing their initial market traction?
Yeah, I think your question is alluding to like the two, which of the buckets do you fall into? Is it a bottoms-up approach or a top-down approach?
Yep.
The answer will come from your customers. How do they want to buy? How do they want to learn? Right. And then you can kind of break it down from there. Right. So, you know, if you're selling something that has time to value that can be delivered in a day, a week, you're selling to an individual or a very small team, you're selling something that can be added to a credit card without much, you know, consideration. And also, most importantly, you're not touching sensitive data that security, compliance, et cetera, needs to get involved in, right? Like, so I like to look at like the time to value and the onboarding. Those are like the two biggest things. How easy is it for someone to touch it? That will tell you, are you able to be bottoms up or top down? Top down means that you need a committee buy-in, you need an executive buy-in. This is a you know, 30-day to 60-day time to value. You need to be integrated into other systems. You need certain data access. Maybe you need the whole team using it in order to get the value, right? So it really depends on what you're building, what problem you're solving, and then going out to market and asking, just testing each of those, being like, hey, if you wanted to, if someone on your team wanted to leverage this, would they even be able to? Like, would they have the right to? Like, I know developers are allowed to have a bit more of a say in terms of the products they use versus sales teams don't really, right? Like we all have to follow a certain protocol because of, to ingest the data integrity and also institutional knowledge. So I think it depends on what you're selling, whom you're selling to. But I think first and foremost, how does the buyer or the end user want to purchase this and test it? And then from there, like, how does the product deliver value? I think it helps you decipher. Bottoms up, right, is great, but every bottoms up company eventually becomes top down. Because if you want to start selling into the enterprise and really get the mass, you need large enterprises to be bought in. And that's not a easy PLG, you know, PLG doesn't solve for that. But like to get initial traction, to get early users, to get, you know, to show that proof of concept, it's a great GTM. But I think it needs to be paired with top down sooner rather than later when you responsibly can.
Do you have any guidance on pricing as well? Like, do y'all do work with startups around kind of thing beyond, I guess there's product market fit, also go to market fit. Do you all specialize in helping companies think through their pricing strategy as part of the service?
So pricing is a science. And I think pricing is best served when you know exactly who you're selling to, how they're using, how they value it. Do they want to expand the second year? Like there's some data points and proof points that you do need to figure out, like the real price point. But in the early days, there is rough mental models you can use. For example, if you're selling to an enterprise, typically an enterprise will do a POC or a first year engagement somewhere between 75 and 125K, right? Mental model wise.
Yep.
Mid-market might be somewhere between 30 and 60K. And then SMB might be between 5 and 15K. Like there's rough mental models that you can use out there where all you want to do is show, all you want to do day one is show a logo is willing to use it and they're willing to pay for it. And they're willing to pay a fair value for it.
Yeah.
But to get to that precision and that pricing, that does require a pretty extensive deep dive. And I always suggest do that post-product market fit when you have a bit more control over the other pieces. Pricing is always something that you can change.
I know we're coming to the top of the hour. What is maybe one or two things that you see founders getting wrong when they're thinking about their go-to-market approach in the beginning?
Yeah.
And maybe just like one or two kind of tactical things that you think could help them sort of get on the right track.
So I think first and foremost, do not delegate sales to a non-founder until you have you have proof and validation on whom you're serving, why you're serving them, and you have 3 to 5 referenceable customers. Because a non-founder is not going to be set up for success, nor are they going to know how to navigate the ambiguity before you figure it out. So like, please do not hire anyone full-time until the founder has this figured out and that V1 process is built. Also, any great salesperson would never join an organization without those proof points. So
yeah, yep.
There's also that point too. The second is, it is a game of subtraction, right? It is so important to get as focused as possible and identify that injection point. No one buys a platform or an all-in-one solution day one. They buy a testable injection point where they can see the value and you can always expand from there. So don't come in here, come in as focused as possible, because the other beauty of an injection point is it's very clear. You know pretty fast if this is something they want or don't want. You can sell it the same way every time. But more importantly, the more specific you are, the easier it is to build trust. And injection points are very hard for incumbents to sell against.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you do have a little bit of a competitive advantage there. So I can't stress enough, like get that injection point crystallized before you do anything else, before you worry about pricing, before you worry about hiring a team, before you even about getting an office, like nail that injection point, nail those initial first customers, and then everything else from there starts to compound.
Ah, man, I feel like that was always such a struggle for us in the early days. When I was a PM at Intuit, Scott Cook, founder of Intuit, often talked about this practice of going broad to go narrow. So it was like you start really broad with a solution set or like how you could solve a problem and then like go narrow to define that. And I feel like kind of what you're suggesting is that initial wedge, finding that initial wedge to
100%.
Essentially like peel in there. And I think what we did was we kind of applied that, but it was difficult because I think in the HR market, everybody wants to buy a platform. And so we were trying to, I don't know, the messaging got really muddy because we were selling a million different things to one person. And I think, like you said, the minute we simplified everything and just cut away all the bullshit, it was like, oh my gosh, I get it now, you know? And so I think that's
totally
such a good takeaway. I guess I'd love to maybe just hear what's next for Jellyfish. You know, what's the next step for you all? And then also, yeah, anything else that you wanted to plug?
The next step for us is honestly head down, just continuing to do the hard work. I mean, there's nothing, I wish I could say there's something like super sexy about what we're doing, but it's just like really hard work that we believe doesn't have good alternatives. So this is what you need to do in order to get these things going, right? Hiring someone full-time does not solve for this. working with an advisor that plugs in an hour a week doesn't solve for this. It is in the weeds, deep, deep, deep work. So maybe figuring out ways that we can be more efficient is something that we're always looking to do. But everyone's always like, well, how do you scale Jellyfish? And it's like, there's nothing scalable about uncovering an earned insight. Like, if it was truly scalable, I mean, I think we would see a lot more businesses doing this level of work, and we'd probably be a lot further along than we are. You know, we've been around for 6 years. We're about 40 people full time, which is great. But like, a truly scalable business would have been 250 people by now, 300 people. Right. So, you know, nothing what we're doing is scalable. It's repeatable. Like, we've productized how to do this, and we've made a really clear, scientific process to test a founder's vision and align it with market reality. But the hard thing about what we're doing is, more times than you probably think, we're telling a founder that they're pretty off with what the market wants. Right. And then giving them that information, I think, is actually the most prideful thing we do, because they're not going down the wrong track for too long, right? Because all product market fit is a game of iteration, a game of getting to the pulse and finding that pulse. And if we can course correct founders along the way and get them closer and closer to the truth, like, that's incredible. But it's a game of precision. If you're off slightly, someone else is going to beat you to it, right? So product market fit is a game of precision. It's a game of iteration. I've never met a founder who's fully correct on day one. We're always iterating, and it's a ton of fun, but it's really hard work. And I wish I could say it's super sexy. It's not. I mean, we're deeply passionate about it, but it's not like, you know, it's not like this is anything that is venture scale.
It's lead bullets, and that's what it is. There's no silver bullet, and I feel like it's still.
And you're making your own bullet.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. You're melting down metal. You're making your own freaking bullets, and then having to plow through. And I love that. I love that. Well, very cool, Jen. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming on. And
Justin, this was awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, this was great. And we'll keep in touch. We'd love to have you back on. Any founders out there that are focused on getting the car out of the garage, going from zero to one, which is the majority of our listeners here, I encourage you to check out Jellyfish. And yeah, we'll catch up again soon.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Justin.
Thanks, Jen. All right, that is a wrap. Again, big shout out to Jen Abel, the team at Jellyfish. Love the work they're doing to help founders go from zero to one and grow their revenues in the early stages. Got a big week coming up on the podcast. We have got a founder on from a company we featured on Money Morning Quarterback. Going to talk about the best haircuts we've ever gotten. It's a pretty fun episode. You're going to want to tune into that next week. I'm going to be off in Melbourne the week following, so we're not going to have a Money Morning Quarterback episode on that following week, because I'm going to be just jet-lagged as hell, but we will have an awesome interview coming up that following Friday. Again, appreciate y'all tuning in. Also, had a pretty cool article drop on Entrepreneur this week on the time that I emailed all 30 NBA owners and what came of that interaction and those experiences. You're going to want to check that out. Again, I appreciate you all tuning in and listening. Keep hustling. Keep grinding. And keep getting that money. See them dollar signs. Hustle. Grind. Assassin state of mind. Hustle. Grind. See them dollar signs. Assassin state of mind. Assassin state of mind. Hustle. Grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line. Assassin state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs. Assassin state of mind. Assassin state of mind. Hustle, grind. See them dollar signs way above the bottom line. Assassin state of mind. They say money over everything. Everything engaged in the game. Shopping for a wedding ring. Salary, startups, crypto, stock exchange. Appreciate everything.